Well, after telling you on the last show that I thought I was done with Egypt, I got an email actually from Richard Hoagland who said, "You are so not done. We have to talk." And I ended up going back just a couple of weeks ago here. And I was really surprised at how many changes there were. But one of the things that brought me there was the press conference with Dr. Zahi Hawass on February 17th, talking about the DNA testing with King Tut.
Update us on that.
Well, I stood there at the press conference. I predicted that he would try to say that Tut's father was Akhenaten, though there's quite a bit of controversy with that, and I'm you know, a little bit confused with why he's trying to make that link. Now, I subscribe to the notion of psychic archaeology, and I've got some very strong feelings and reasons why I don't think that's the lineage. And when they did the DNA testing, basically what they're looking at is a medical model, which I find confusing because they're saying that he had crooked toes, a club foot, a cleft palate, and he died of malaria. And I'm like, why all the medical influence? And when they did the DNA testing, supposedly on Hatshepsut, they said she was obese. And, of course, they were always insisting that Akhenaten is sick, deformed, crazy. Well, when I think of these wonderful beings from the 18th dynasty, I think of them as highly conscious beings, super gorgeous, very healthy, far healthier than us. And so I'm not exactly sure how all that adds up. Now, if you go online, there's some videos that are showing how they did the DNA testing. And you'll see that they use the Y chromosome. And I'd like to explain about mitochondrial DNA. But in any case, they're referring to the mummy of Akhenaten while they're showing a skeleton. And then the very next video starts, and it says, well, we don't really know who Akhenaten is. So there's so much contradictory information. The other thing that they stood up and said was that they only started doing the DNA testing, and it was going to take them another 2 years to finish.
2 years?
Well, the thing is, I've been waiting for this data for 12 years.
Yeah.
So it started out with a Japanese team, and they were just about to collect the DNA, and they were shut down in terms of security. And then Scott Woodward out of Utah at Brigham Young University was given the rights to do it, and he had a team with him from National Geographic, and they were just about to drill into the tooth to get the DNA, and they were shut down. And the whole crew had to go home. And I was scheduled to go to Denver to listen to the results. And he stood up and said, sorry, or wasn't allowed to take the test. So then they got a DNA lab and put it in the basement of the National Museum. And then we've been waiting for another 5 years. So I was pretty excited about this data coming out, yet I suspected that they weren't going to say too much.
Now, is it your impression, though, Carmen, that Zahi has an agenda?
Well, exactly. You see, I said to a few people, I'm going to go to this press conference when I found out it was happening. I brought a group with me, and it didn't start till the next day. And I said to people, I predict that he's going to try to say that Akhenaten's the father, but I'm sure they're not going to find Akhenaten and Nefertiti's bodies for two different reasons. But still, it's an agenda. But also, like, I teach quantitative research methods, so I understand, you know, how you have to have validity and reliability and make sure you're measuring what you think you're measuring and not just keep coming out with different diseases instead of the lineage. Now, when they said that they were using the Y chromosome to do the testing, I really think there's a problem with that because mitochondrial DNA goes through the matrilineal line. And the Egyptians knew this, which is why the pharaoh would marry the daughter of the pharaoh before him to keep the dynasties within the family line.
How would they know this at that point?
Well, let me say, mitochondrial DNA, if we were to take my son, me, and my father, and you,
all right,
measure all our DNA, we would know that you're in a different gene pool than we are, that I'm in the middle, my son is younger, and my dad is older, because it's almost like tree rings. You can count the generations.
And would you know, though, that the three of you were somewhat close intact, and I was on the outskirts here?
Absolutely. That's
okay.
The point. That's the point. And that's why when you see the matrilineal line that the Egyptians were, there's a lot of things they knew that we're just barely starting to grasp, but they absolutely knew this. So the matrilineal line is the XX. So if they're testing the Y chromosome, again, that just can't be the answer.
What's the significance, though, Carmen, of the fact that he's trying to position Tut as being a descendant from Akhenaten. So what? What's he trying to prove?
Well, so what? Exactly. But the thing is that he's missing the sociocultural context, as we talked about in the last show. What was going on at the time? How was the Amun priesthood out of control? How does it parallel things that are going on now? And because there was also a problem with the DNA. There weren't a lot of boy babies being born at the time. Akhenaten and Nefertiti had 6 girl babies. Okay.
Interesting.
And in Hatshepsut's time, there weren't a lot of boys either. And so there was something, I think, a genetic disturbance or something like that. And who knows why, but if you read books on Amarna, they're like, well, just because they didn't show any boys in their family images and showing them all quite, doesn't mean he didn't have a boy. So it's almost like this patriarchal imperative, almost, you know, in China, they want them to, you know, have boy babies or
there's just,
it's still patriarchal ways of being and thinking. I'm not sure why that's the agenda. But it's almost like Zahi also thinks that he's going to retire when he finds the mummy of Cheops inside the Great Pyramid. Well, the likelihood of that is about zero. Everybody in the Pyramid Code that's interviewed basically says the pyramids weren't tombs. They found a statue at a site. You know, there's 3 sites between Saqqara and Giza, and they found a 2-inch statue of Cheops, and that's all they go on to prove, quote-unquote, that Cheops built the Great Pyramid. And if you look at the photos that Lex just posted on your website.
Yep, and people, just refresh your browser in case you have to. Go ahead, Carmen.
And what you'll see is that they're excavating inside the Great Pyramid. I was in there like 3 weeks ago. There are 2 enormous extension ladders at the top of the Grand Gallery, just in front of the entrance to the King's Chamber.
What are they excavating into?
Well, there's wires going up in there, which means there's electricity. And a couple of years ago, I saw a lot of burlap sacks full of powder, which means they're drilling. There's power lines going up into the Davidson chambers. There's an extra passage in the pit and the subterranean chamber that's on film in the Pyramid Code. And I think they're just drilling through solid stone, thinking the mummy's in there somewhere. Hoping they're going to run into the mummy.
Something.
That's what it looks like on the surface. It's top secret. We're never going to get the real agenda, but I also think they're barking up the wrong tree.
They have had to have done some testing that has got to show something in there, don't you think? With some kind of ultrasound or whatever they might have?
Well, look at the picture of the ladder that's tied together with rope. I mean, I think that we lose touch with how primitive things are in modern Egypt.
Yeah, no, I know.
And even when they did the ground-penetrating radar, when Robert Schock and John Anthony West, they were using a sledgehammer and a device that basically was measuring. It was quite rudimentary, but also there's a honeycomb of passageways underneath the pyramids. So it could be anything.